Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Politics with Amy Walter on The Takeaway. A couple of weeks ago, when I announced the show would be coming to an end, I told you we'd spend the last few shows looking at the political challenges ahead, to understand their root causes, and to understand how they're being addressed or ignored. Today, we'll hear from a few of the heroes of the 2020 election, the officials and volunteers who worked tirelessly to protect the integrity of our elections. They worked through a global health crisis that dramatically altered the way we cast votes in this country, and a plague of disinformation that sought to undermine American confidence in democracy itself. But we begin with a conversation about diversity and political journalism. When I first started reporting on politics, and while sometimes I feel super, super old, it wasn't that long ago, I was often the lone woman in the room. There was sometimes a boys' club feel to political coverage. Girls were allowed, but they had to be willing to adapt to the already established culture. But the lack of reporters of color was even more striking. Look through those press scrums from the 1980s and 90s, even the early 2000s, and you see very few brown and black faces. Of course, a lot has changed in recent years, and newsrooms have had to adapt. This year, we saw a lot of reporters of color on our TV. We listened to them in podcasts, on radio shows, and read their bylines in the nation's top newspapers. Ignoring issues of systemic racism is no longer possible. 2020 taught us that. In fact, race and racism and our national reckoning are rightly centered in the national conversation. So what does all of this mean for how we discuss politics and policy? For that, I turn to Aaron Haynes, co-founder and editor-at-large for The 19th, Tolu Olunuripa, national political reporter for The Washington Post, and Maya King, political reporter at Politico.
Over the last, particularly the last 2 years, we've really been able to see and learn the value and the huge platform that Black voters have, not just as a political force, but in an organizing force. Every campaign that I spoke to on the primary, on the campaign trail, and I'm sure Tolu and Aaron can attest to this, really underlined the value of Black voters, especially in 2018 and in 2019, when things were really starting to kick up on the campaign. And then we had this thing called the coronavirus kind of step into the scene, and that totally changed the direction of the political campaign. But it didn't necessarily change, at least for me and my reporting on race and demographics, the direction of my reporting, in that I was still focusing on the impact and disproportionate impact of these policies and of these major events on Black communities. Taking it even further, we had the George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor killings at the hands of police that spurned international protest again against racial inequities and against police violence. And it was just made very clear to me time and time again of just the giant value and platform that Black communities have, specifically as it relates to American politics. And so covering all of that also as a Black woman was truly, it required me to really challenge my own understandings of the community that I also belong to, which was great for me as a journalist to be able to still learn a lot of new things and be able to tell stories that hadn't been told before, but was also equally very difficult to be able to not only understand these and see these things happening in real time, but also see how they were impacting those closest to me in my community and in my family. And that in itself was also informing my reporting. So I say all that to say it really has been a truly remarkable 18 months. And as it relates to politics and political reporting, I mean, covering this as a Black person, it has truly been very as equally fulfilling as it has been challenging.
Tolu, how would you describe your experience?
Yeah, I think Maya covered it actually really, really well. We all as reporters try to figure out how to tell the story of what's happening in the country and even globally. And there's such a diverse experience based on where you're from, based on what kinds of community you live in. And it's important as reporters to tell the full story, especially here in America, to make sure that everyone's story gets told and gets told with the appropriate context and gets the appropriate weight and attention that's needed. And, you know, for a large part of our history, you know, certain communities were overlooked, their stories were not told, or their stories were told in stereotypical ways or ways that did not appreciate the fullness of those cultures and communities. And I think having a more diverse press corps is a big part of trying to tell those stories in the appropriate way with the appropriate amount of cultural recognition of what those communities are going through. And as Maya said, as we've faced the past couple of years of, you know, turbulence, especially when it comes to racial issues in the country, it's important to have voices that understand what a lot of these communities have been going through that just has not been getting the coverage or has not been getting the focus that it's appropriate over the past several decades. And now that the country is turning its attention to these issues, it's important that these voices are elevated. It's important that, you know, people who are now ready to tell their stories to a broader audience get to do so without having them filtered in through a negative lens, as we've seen so often in the past. So I do feel, you know, some level of responsibility to make sure that I'm telling those broad stories in an appropriate way, and that I'm giving voice to people and communities that have been overlooked for far too long. It's a weighty responsibility. It's difficult. In addition to the difficulties of just being a reporter generally, it's an added responsibility that I think we have to make sure that we are representing people who may have skepticism towards the media, may feel like in the past their stories were misinterpreted or not given the right amount of attention. So now that people are starting to focus on these issues, whether it's income inequality, police brutality, police harassment, those stories are told with the right level of nuance. And there is definitely some high level of responsibility to make sure we're doing that well, make sure that we are reporting for the broad community, but that we're doing it in a nuanced way. And it's all of our responsibilities, but I think there's a special responsibility on people who have experience with these communities, who have maybe grown up in these communities, who may understand some of the nuance better than other reporters, to make sure that we're doing our part to provide that level of context and nuance so that those stories are told in a way that enlightens us all.
Aaron, you have the unique position that you also started a news organization in this moment, and one that focused specifically on reflecting racial, ideological, socioeconomic, gender diversity of American voters. Talk about that experience and compare it to, you know, your experiences that you had in traditional newsrooms. You came most immediately from the AP.
Sure. And let me also just say, though, how great it is to be in conversation with my colleagues who are growing in number, right, especially in terms of visibility and representation, because that absolutely matters. But look, yes, I was one of the five women who helped to start The 19th, which is a nonprofit independent newsroom that is at the intersection of gender, policy, and politics, because we wanted to change the narrative around the majority of the U.S. electorate, namely women, but also marginalized folks in this country. And I'm somebody who spent much of my career covering issues of race, and I would say by default gender, because I do tend to see my a lot of my work through my own lived experience as a Black woman, but probably focused a lot more on my Blackness than my womanhood, honestly, before I came to The 19th. And so I think early on in my career, I thought I was going to be covering kind of the vestiges of racism and the progress of the gains that had been made kind of since the civil rights movement. But I now find myself really focused on some of the losses and the retrenchment of racism in this country, in addition to some of the continued progress that Black Americans have made. Starting this newsroom really was about changing the conversation around gender, yes, but also, frankly, around race in this country, especially as it pertains to our politics. And, you know, last year, we certainly did not envision starting a newsroom in the middle of a pandemic, but we absolutely sat at the intersection of everything. And I think in 2020, the country and our industry saw what a lot of Black journalists and Black America have long known, which is that race is the unfinished business of our democracy and the story of our time. And, you know, as a Black journalist, as Tolu and Maya have said, you know, we get to chronicle the highs and the lows of the Black experience in this country. And those were certainly on display last year. Black people continuing to be disproportionately affected in yet another facet of American life with the pandemic from both a public health and economic perspective, a national reckoning on race that came even in the midst of a global public health crisis, and yet, an election in which Black voters would not be denied, even in the midst of a pandemic, to vote in record numbers and to help elect a Black woman as the second most powerful person in the country for the first time in our history. So, for me, others have talked about kind of bringing our lived experience to the work. I'm somebody who has always believed that is an asset that Black journalists have, not a bias, if not a superpower, frankly, because we see stories that other folks don't necessarily see. We are in conversation with our family members, our friends, people from college, you name it, talking about what it means to be Black in America in this moment. And, you know, as journalists more broadly, you know, our mission is to leave behind the most honest an accurate record of who and where we are as a country. And if we are not telling the truth about race in public, I know that we are not doing that. We are not doing our job as journalists, period, much less as Black journalists more specifically.
Well, talk about that for a minute, too, about bringing the lived experience and then the pressure on being an quote unquote objective journalist, right? You're supposed to be dispassionate. You're supposed to be able to detach yourself from what you're covering, which also seems very unrealistic, number one. And number two, like something that people who are white and covering politics, well, of course, that is a much easier experience for them than it is for others.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would actually push back on that. Okay. Objectively speaking, race is a matter of fact, in terms of life in the United States. And so, you know, if we can agree upon that fact of life in America, then I think we can begin to have a conversation about exactly what objectivity means. Like I said, the goal here is honesty and accuracy, right? And I think that because race has been so polarizing in this country because of the original sin of slavery, the default setting for some people is that, you know, to talk about race is to invite bias into.
Exactly. Doesn't that seem like we're still there? Like, do you feel like we've actually gotten past that? I don't. That's not okay to talk about. That's polarizing. That's divisive. Let's not talk about that.
And I would say, you know, when I am met with that reaction, that tells me more about the journalist than it does about whatever the story is. And I think, too, you know, what we've come to learn, certainly in the last 4 years, if not before that, is that more folks, white Americans, and that includes white Americans in newsrooms, are starting to really think about what it means to be a white person in America. Mm-hmm. And the idea of whiteness as part of our identity politics. That's real. That's a thing. And that is a journalistic aspect of our job that is worth being explored, right? But because white Americans and by default white journalists are not thinking about these issues honestly nearly as much as Black people and Black journalists think about race, they are not as comfortable talking about it. Yeah. They are not as used to using that muscle, and it is a muscle, honestly. I mean, like, the more you use it, the more comfortable you get with it, the better you get at it. And so I would just encourage, white journalists who are coming to realize the role that race plays, not only in our politics, but in our society more broadly, to get rid of these kind of traditional notions of objectivity, which were, you know, developed and defined largely by, white male gatekeepers. And to really ask yourself, I mean, being dispassionate about it means taking these feelings out of writing about race and really focusing on the facts of writing about race and journalism that focuses on those facts. And so if we do that, then, you know, I think that we are living up to our journalistic mission.
Tolu, I want to get to that issue, too, of facts. And, you know, you covered the White House, you covered the Trump campaign. Back in 2016, journalists were very uncomfortable calling what Donald Trump was doing or saying racist. And by the time of when he was sworn in as president, and then as we went into the campaign, newspapers, including yours, I'm just going to read a Washington Post headline from the summer of 2020, was Trump's push to amplify racism unnerves Republicans who have long enabled him. Can you talk about what happened, where that change, that switch seemed to be flipped from being uncomfortable, as Aaron was discussing, with talking about race? It was in a quote unquote dispassionate way versus calling out what was right in front of us all along.
Yeah, I think it was sort of an industry-wide and a paper-wide reckoning with what Aaron was talking about, the importance of covering this issue, covering the issue of race without kid gloves, covering it in a fact-based manner. And the fact is that many of the things that the president was saying, the things that he was doing, the political strategy that he was employing were racist. They were racially offensive, they were racially insensitive, and they were racist. They were essentially pushes and efforts to denigrate specific communities, pushes to identify with his own whiteness and to get his supporters to see their whiteness as a form of privilege that they didn't want to let go, and to rile up his quote unquote base with, you know, sometimes racist dog whistles and sometimes racist bullhorns. And there were so many examples. One that comes to mind is when the president told for congresswomen of color to go back to their countries, even though they were American citizens and the vast majority of them were actually born in this country and had no other country to go back to. So it was very clear when the president started doing things like that, and the examples piled up, and the newspaper and the top leaders at the newspaper started to realize that, you know, we cannot beat around the bush. We have to do a service to our readers by calling things as they are, even though it may be uncomfortable for our readers, or maybe uncomfortable for the broader public to think of the president of the United States as someone who traffics in racist language and politics. But that was what was happening. And it was important for us to be true to the moment, to be fact-based and to be unsparing in our coverage of the way the president was behaving. And I think that was something that ended up becoming a service to our readers, because it was important for them to know that this was what was happening in the country. The country is, as Aaron said, still trying to work on this unfinished business of racial inequality and racial sensitivity. And it is something that is difficult to talk about. It is difficult to process. It is a challenge that this country has faced for the better part of two centuries. And it continues to be a challenge that we're facing. And it's important for us in the media to focus on the issues that are continuing to face the country without papering over them or making it seem like all of those issues have been solved, or that all of the problems that you know marred the history of this country no longer affect a large portion of the people in the country. In fact, almost everyone in the country is touched by race in one way or the other. So I think it was important for us to call this for what it was, and to level with our readers, level with our audience about what was happening in the country. And that sometimes it required us to use language that may be difficult to read or difficult to process, but language that reflected the reality of what we're living in, which is a very difficult time.
And Amy, I just want to echo and just put a pin in something that Tolu was saying just now. And the idea that we saw, you know, racism reemerging, you know, in the last 4 years, Black journalists saw this. They said this. And sometimes they were criticized for trying to point this out in newsrooms. And we can't lose sight of that, because I think it's important for our political journalism coverage going forward and our coverage of our country going forward. I can think back to, you know, the 2016 campaign when we saw, you know, that there was racism happening at some of, you know, these Make America Great Again rallies. That was in the air, that was in the atmosphere of some of these rallies. And that is not to suggest that all, you know, that everyone that voted for former President Trump was a racist, but racism was certainly a part of the equation And that was something that was emboldened and enabled. It is a fact, you know, our federal government has found white nationalism, white power is a national domestic terrorism threat. You know, that's not, you know, a black journalist saying that in a newsroom. Mm-hmm. That is something that our own government has found to be true. And so saying those things, even though, to Tallulah's point, they may make some people uncomfortable, right? Because they may see some of these folks, some of these stories, and you know, maybe their lived experience is similar to, you know, they know somebody who maybe has reflected some of these views, or you know, that they want to, you know, maybe try to empathize with folks that or try to understand better. But it really is important to understand the dynamics of race and politics, and I think that is something that journalists of color who are covering politics are definitely uniquely positioned to do. And I hope that it is something that more white journalists who cover politics get more comfortable doing, because you cannot, you know, just because, you know, former President Trump is no longer in office, that does not mean that the intersection of race and politics is no longer with us, just as when the first black president, Barack Obama, right, left office, we certainly were very far from being post-racial. If anything, we are in a hyper-racial America, and that means that we have an obligation to cover that.
That's a great segue then, Maya, to you to sort of ask about where we go from here and what your expectations are going forward. You know, as Aaron pointed out, okay, Donald Trump's not there sort of fanning the flames every single day like we saw for the last 4 years. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't cover in with the same intentionality these issues of race. And what do you think the commitment is, as you're seeing your newsroom and others evolve at this time, to doing so?
Well, first, I would argue that now, especially this year, if not the next 4 years, make the story of race and politics as important as they've almost ever been. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a bill on reparations on the Hill within the first 100 days of a presidential administration. I'm not sure if that's ever happened before. And then even on top of that, communities of color that showed out in mass, that showed up to the polls in mass in the midst of a public health crisis and an international reckoning on race, are looking to this particular White House and saying, we need you to deliver for us. And even more specifically, Black communities are looking to this White House with a Black and South Asian vice president, a historically diverse presidential cabinet, a historically diverse Congress, waiting for policies that will specifically positively impact their communities, saying, we've delivered for you, please deliver for us. And so I know for the next 12 months to the next 4 years, that's exactly what I'm looking at. I mean, that's all that I'm following is what are the limits of representation now? How does having historic diversity in the top levers of power impact politics and policy for communities of color? And so I would agree with everything that my colleagues have said, which is, yeah, this is absolutely a critical time for coverage of race and coverage of demographics. And I mean, I would take it even further and say that if newsroom's charge and journalism's creed is to tell the truth and to state the facts, then reporting about race and the impact of these policies is part of that. And so we don't necessarily have to think too hard about this if we're still holding ourselves to the same journalistic standards that we've been saying that, you know, we would like to see. And that means, of course, for our white colleagues who are on the White House beat, who are on the Congress beat, not just relegating these stories about race and policy to your colleagues of color, because this is your beat too. This is part of the story that everyone is telling. And if there is some discomfort, I mean, give the people who are telling these stories, who have made this their life's work, the support that they need within newsrooms to be able to do that as effectively as possible. And, you know, that's the biggest takeaway that I would have here is just that I think that more newsrooms now understand the value and importance of covering race and politics, Now, the challenge, of course, is figuring out how to do that the right way. And that's what we'll be seeing too, as we continue to follow this story of race and politics from a political standpoint. How are newsrooms going to evolve to make sure that this is also done correctly?
This has been fantastic. Thank you guys so much for coming on and talking through this with me.
Well, thank you for allowing us to gather together, because we don't get to do this nearly enough in the pandemic.
I know. Someday soon, we will be in person. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Erin Haynes, co-founder and editor-at-large for The 19th, Tolu Olunarepa, national political reporter for The Washington Post, and Maya King, political reporter at Politico.